Welcome to Ballistic Radio, the fastest growing gun talk show in the country. Join us. We're going to explore the topics of firearms, self-defense, and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you need dynamite to take them off. Now, here's your host, John Johnston, on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Good evening and welcome to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me this evening, Mr. Andy Ulrich. Andy, how's it going tonight?
Pretty good. A little under the weather, but I'm here.
Yeah, so. you've had to deal with some temperature changes in your day job, huh?
Yeah. I want 90 degrees.
Yeah. No, I saw your one Facebook post, and I felt bad for you. We're going to have an interesting show tonight. I usually try and stay away from politics or anything that even resembles politics, just, A, because I'm not qualified to speak on it as well as I am on some other things, and B, it just, so many people get so upset and just want to, and I'm one of them. I'm breaking my own rule tonight, though. We're going to be joined by Oconee County Sheriff Scott Berry, as well as his chief deputy, Lee Weems. They are interesting because they are an extremely pro-Second Amendment sheriff's department that has made national headlines for some of the things they've done in the past. The big one that springs to mind was when there was a local police supply store that decided they were going to stop selling assault rifles, rabbit ears there, to law-abiding citizens, and they canceled a contract with them, amongst some other things. Canceled Valentine's Day recently, which I thought was a major plus. Didn't quite make it far enough up here to matter, yeah. But at least in their little corner of Georgia. Anyway, we're going to get them on the line in just a minute. Just a quick reminder, this segment brought to you by Colt. Colt, the legend continues. So, without further ado, well, let's see who I'll get on first. I'll get the sheriff on first, and I'll get Lee on. Sheriff Berry, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing real well. It's kind of a pleasure to be here.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Let me get Lee on the line here, and then Chief Deputy Weems, how are you doing this evening?
I'm fine, John. How are you?
Not too bad. Perfect. I've got both of you on the line. I appreciate you both taking your Sunday evening to come on and talk to some jerk from Cincinnati on the radio. But really
That's
do appreciate
what I was thinking.
Yeah, hey, you know, I couldn't even.
This isn't going to cost me any votes anyway.
Well, see, there's. I don't know. I bet you'd be surprised. We're doing pretty well down in Georgia last time I looked. So. But just for people that are not familiar, if you could just kind of go over where you're at and what you do, and we'll start from there.
We're a full service sheriff's office located in northeast Georgia. We're immediately next to Athens, Georgia. If you have a map or you've got a general idea, we're 65 miles northeast of Atlanta. We're in the Piedmont area of Georgia. Our county is really interesting. We've got 34,000 people. I have a total of 90 employees. It includes all the divisions, jail, communications, patrol, investigations, administration. It's a bedroom community to both Atlanta and Athens. We've got a kind of a bedroom area in the north end of the county, and we've got a lot of farms, cattle, milk farms, dairy operations. Excuse me there. I couldn't think what it was called for a second.
That's all right.
Dairy operations, and it's a great place to live, great place to raise a family.
Okay. And the reason why I'm talking with you tonight, other than I'm friends with Deputy Weems, is you've made some pretty big headlines with a couple things you've done, and I was joking about you canceling Valentine's Day. That was something that made it onto your Facebook page that for some reason made national news. But the thing that did catch my attention was after the Sandy Hook thing happened, there were a lot of people that were having knee-jerk reactions to that and were stopping selling the evil black rifles. And you actually had one of your suppliers do that. And what'd you tell them?
Well, we had never bought, the agency had never bought firearms from them, but we were looking at body armor, and they were one of the suppliers we were looking at, and they'd been in the office about a month before with their body armor samples, and they were quoting us body armor prices when they announced they weren't going to sell Evil Black rifles or any self-loading rifle of any kind. To civilians, I just decided that we weren't going to do business with them, and it's rather kind of a straightforward thing. I wrote them a letter, and a friend of mine that's a lawyer in Atlanta and is involved with politics of firearms legislation here in Georgia, and I were just kind of talking about it, talking about something else, and just as an aside, I mentioned it to him, and telling him apparently that went viral too, and I shared the letter with him, and it went viral. It's a straight up thing. If you're not going to sell rifles that are legal to own to somebody else, I'm not going to use the taxpayers' money to go buy rifles for our sheriff's office. It's just not going to, or anything else,
right,
from the sheriff's office. So it's just real simple.
Well, and it's. It's funny that you say it's real simple. It doesn't actually seem real simple to a lot of other sheriffs across the country. Now, I have been surprised to see a lot more than I would have initially thought that are coming out against, you know, gun control legislation and things like that. But traditionally, you don't see, you just don't see that, at least not in the past. And it was just really interesting. I think that's why it garnered as much attention as it did when it happened. And that's just kind of brought my attention. Go ahead.
I'm satisfied the mainstream media is used to law enforcement officials coming out on the side of some form of gun control. You know, let's ban guns. Let's do something with guns. Let's make it harder to buy a gun. You know, and when you come out and say, listen, if you're not going to sell them to everybody, we're not buying any from you. You know, that's almost the dog bite man story and man bites dog story kind of thing.
Right.
It did get some attention, but you know, a lot of my sheriffs here in Georgia supported, not only supported me on it, but also made a pledge not to do business with them as well. So,
whoops.
yeah, there you go. So
unintended consequences.
Well, you know, it's, you know, sheriffs, you know, an elected sheriff that's your chief law enforcement officer is directly responsible to the people the community serves. You lose your job if you don't have the support of your community.
Right.
If they don't like the way you do business, they don't like the way you wear your hair, you're gone. You're out. Okay. And in Georgia, it's a 4-year term. We run every time there's a presidential election. And the people of the county choose their chief law enforcement officer. Now, when you have an appointed chief law enforcement officer, that appointed chief law enforcement officer is going to reflect the opinions of those that are elected that keep him in office.
Right.
And it's going to be a little different. So.
Okay, and that's actually something that I was talking with Chief Deputy Weems before the show about the things going on in Connecticut. And we've got to go to commercial here in about 20 seconds, so I'll just tease this and we'll talk about it more when we get back. But we were discussing, you know, it's Connecticut's looking nasty at this point, and now that actual confiscation letters have gone out as opposed to the fake, you know, everyone's getting worried confiscation right. letters that were about a month ago, it's really looking interesting. Sure. I'd like to get your all's take on that, but we got to go to break. When we get sure. back, more with Oconton County Sheriff Scott Berry and his Chief Deputy Lee Weems. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Black Fire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you'd need dynamite to take them off. We are talking all sorts of interesting political stuff with Oconton County, Georgia Sheriff Scott Berry and Chief Deputy Lee Weems. I'm trying to see, it's funny, I'm doing the show without an outline, just because I have been doing that lately. I like the show better that way. But occasionally when I've got two guests on, like trying to not mash their names together into some sort of like amalgamation of, we've got Sheriff, Chief Deputy, Lee, well, no. But anyway, gentlemen, are you still there? Scott?
Uh-oh.
Lee?
Might want to try to call him back.
What'd you do, Eric? My producer's making faces. We'll get them back on the line momentarily. Let's try this again. Hey, dead air is not too terrible. So, anyway, we were discussing before, and our producer Eric's getting them back on the line right now. We were discussing before we went to break. He's making faces at me. Let's try this again. Lee, are you there?
I'm here.
Excellent. Let's try and Sheriff Barry, are you there?
We're here.
Perfect. What'd you do,
it's
Eric?
A miracle.
It is a miracle. You turn your head for a second, and all of a sudden, I've broken things. Was that what it was? Don't do that, man. Jeez. Anyway, we'll get back to the show. I know everyone's kind of enjoying my little radio.
It was Gremlins.
Gremlins? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
You know what it is. The NSA doesn't want us doing this show.
That's true. They put they push
the whammy. Yeah.
Put the whammy button on you.
Anyway, back to the topic at hand. We were discussing, and you said something interesting as far as the difference between appointed sheriffs and elected sheriffs and the views that they represent. And I'm sure you've kind of been following what's going on in Connecticut and the, you know, we can't really say too much about the laws that their elected officials have passed, whether or not they personally seem incredibly stupid to me, but, you know, those are the people that are in the office. Those are the laws that they pass. As far as some of the law enforcement that's in Connecticut right now, though, there seems to be a pretty sharp divide between, you know, some people posting really stupid things on Facebook about how eager they are to go and take guns from people, and then other ones saying, hey, we're not doing this, period.
Right.
I know where you fall on that, but what are your thoughts on the entire situation?
Me?
Either.
It's going to be fascinating. I just, you know, there's a lot of bold talk right now going, if you believe what you read. Now, you've got to qualify this. Okay, first off, and we all know that. If you believe what you read, there's a lot of bold talk right now from both sides of the camp.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of, apparently, if sources are accurate, and I will qualify everything with that.
That's
but,
fine. I agree
you know,
with
there's you. There's apparently lawmen that are anxious to go kicking in doors and taking people's property away from them, if that's true. And then you've got people just as dedicated to, you know, responding to that with violence and gunfire. So it's going to get sporty up in Connecticut before this is over with, if that is the master plan to go door to door trying to confiscate guns. My issue, and I'll let Lee talk about this a little bit, but I don't know how they're going to go about doing it legally.
Yeah.
I can't even envision the set of circumstances where you get a search warrant. If I bought an AR 10 years ago, they've got to have some reason to believe I still have that. Okay? Because I bought something 10 years ago does not mean I still own it. And, you know, there's four ways to get into a house in this country legally. And again, legally. And I just can't imagine the state of Connecticut intends to proceed if, in fact, they are going to go door to door looking for guns.
Right, and that brings a couple interesting things to mind. We're talking with Oconee County, Georgia Sheriff Scott Barry and his chief deputy, Lee Weems. Just a reminder, this segment brought to you by Wather and the new PPX. Anyway, please continue. The legal part is the interesting thing there because, and this is tangential to this, but you can see what the ATF just recently did with Ares Armor as far as they had a restraining order from the court that they completely just violated recently. It seems like the people that are set with enforcing the laws aren't as concerned about following the laws as maybe they should be, at least.
Well, again, this thing with Ares is, and I just know, again, what you read. But I don't have any involvement there. I don't own any Ares products. But I built, my brother and I, we built five AKs out of receiver flats and you know, I've got a semi-auto 19A4 that my brother and I built from a semi-auto side plate. And I bought that side plate relying on the information from the manufacturer that it was, in fact, an 80% side plate.
Right.
And, you know, we had to do a lot of work on that thing to get it running right. And it does run right. I'm proud of it. It's a lot, you know, the labor of love. But,
yeah.
Well, you know, that's
I think that's something that's
an interesting. That's an interesting. Yeah.
Well, it's something that people miss too. When people talk about, you know, the 80% lowers or why someone does that, or they're doing it to get around serial numbers or something like that, it's the same thought process that goes into building a kit car for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, or you put together one of those Cobra replicas or something like that. You know, some people just like building stuff and seeing if it works or not. Where do you think the disconnect is? Between the sheriffs that say things like, you know, there's no way we're doing this to our constituents versus, yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, what do you think is it just a lack of regard for the Constitution, or just, do you have any thoughts on that? Either one of you.
Go ahead, Lee.
There's one thing that you really need to understand about Connecticut is that Connecticut is one of three states that does not have elected sheriffs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All law enforcement in the state of Connecticut is appointed by someone, either the governor or a city council.
All right.
There's no one that is directly accountable to the population.
And that starts to explain almost everything right there.
Right. No real way for the populace to remove them from office.
Exactly. I worked for two very good police chiefs, excellent police chiefs, before I came to work with the sheriff. And as good as they were, sometimes they got orders from the people who appointed them that weren't in the best interest of law enforcement or police work.
Right.
But they had bosses.
Yeah.
They had to satisfy those bosses. A sheriff has bosses, and those are the people that elect them.
Right.
And it's a huge difference there.
So, I mean, between you know, having people that are in positions of power that are not accountable directly to the people that they're enforcing that power over, and do you just think it's a, I mean, obviously there's a pretty big difference between the culture in Connecticut and the culture in Georgia. Having been to both places, I can speak to that directly, but it just seems like, do you think the importance on personal responsibility is so different between both those places that they just don't get it, or I'm trying to get your perspective on it.
I'm going to make it even simpler than that. They had a tragedy in Connecticut. Okay, they did. Anybody, any human being recognizes the tragic results of what happened in Connecticut
right. Over
a year ago now, and. So politicians, as what they are, you know, we're going to try to. We've got to do something, surely there's some law we can pass to stop this. Well, you can sit there and have a rational conversation with someone and truly analyze the fact that there's no law you can pass that stops people from murdering each other. You know, that's a biblical thing. Murder has been a sin forever.
Right.
And, it's a behavior.
Since the dawn of time.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And so we're not going to pass a law that prevents crime. So let's pass a law that does something else. So what are we going to do? We're going to take this scary looking thing that's loud and holds a lot of bullets, and we're going to take it away from everybody. Okay, now, how do you go about doing that? And that's the quandary, in my mind, the state of Connecticut has.
Yeah.
How do you go about going in Sheriff Barry's house and finding the AR that he bought 10 years ago, or a year ago,
right,
or 6 months ago? And I'm fascinated because I don't know how they're going to do it.
When?
I don't know how they're legally going to say and decide that we're going to go in your house because 10 years ago we can prove you bought an AR-15.
Or a magazine. I mean, they're actually. Yeah.
I mean,
how do you know? You know, I find magazines in my house all the time. I mean, I found three HK magazines that I bought. I don't know when I bought them.
Right.
I found them in a bag, you know, in my closet, 6 months ago. And those were kind of like Christmas. Okay. But
I found 9mm with like $5.99 price tags on it, and I know those.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. It's
another interesting thing, though. We got about a minute and a half left, then we have to go to break.
Sure.
But it seems like the situation that's being created in Connecticut right now is just rife for another tragedy to happen. It seems like there's going to be a perfect storm of events if things continue the way they're looking, where you've got otherwise law-abiding people that just aren't going to comply. And law enforcement that's put in the position of, well, what do? And it's going to be, you know, hopefully it doesn't get to the point where doors are actually getting kicked in, but it would only be a matter of time if doors do start getting kicked in before somebody decides, no, I don't think so. And then, you know, then what? And it's baffling
to
me.
Yeah, then what?
It's going to be
And that's a great question, then what?
You have tragedy of the family who's being raided, and you have the tragedy of the law enforcement officer who possibly could be injured or killed. It's not good all around.
No, those things, the first time it happens, it's not going to end well.
No.
And it's just not. I mean, sooner or later, you get away with it 400, 500, 600 times, and then there's going to be that one defining event that's going to be a tragedy for everyone, and nobody wants that.
No, not at
all. The cops don't want it, and nobody does. I don't want that for anybody. I don't want it for a citizen in Connecticut, and I don't want it for a peace officer in Connecticut.
No, not at all. We've got to go to break real quick, but when we get back, we'll explore that a little bit more. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Black Fire Ordnance Group, makers of firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. Just a reminder, this segment brought to you by TopGunSupply.com. TopGunSupply.com is your web source for fine firearms, parts, and accessories. True product specialists committed to delivering the highest level customer support to you. They carry top name brands including Ed Brown, Wilson Combat, Les Bear, Sig Sauer, and many more, as well as premium ARs. Whether you are looking to protect yourself, are a first-time gun buyer, or a competitive shooter, TopGunSupply.com can satisfy your firearms needs. TopGunSupply.com, your premier source for SIG parts and accessories. This evening, we are talking with Sheriff Scott Berry from Oconee County, Georgia, and his Chief Deputy Lee Weems about all sorts of interesting things that are going on in Connecticut and also out in California, and just in general the role that law enforcement should play to the public, which is actually what I'm going to get into now, assuming I haven't hung up on and or killed the phone somehow. Sheriff Berry, are you still there?
Yes.
Perfect. Deputy Weems?
I'm here.
Hey, I did it all right. We were discussing, you know, that it seems like a tragedy is rife in the making in Connecticut with some of the recent things they've enacted and the path that they seem to be going down. It brings to mind another question. As far as the interaction that the public has with law enforcement in general, I actually had a Facebook user, Grayson Mann, question for you guys. I'm going to ask it, and then we can sort of go from there. Where do you think the breaking point has occurred that changed the relationship between the citizens and police in this country? Was it the advent of traffic enforcement, as I've heard before, or a more recent militarization of the job, an accompanying public perception shift? Both? What can departments and individual officers do to maybe mitigate or reverse that as well? And I paraphrase that, but that's essentially the gist of the question.
Lee, go ahead.
First, I really don't believe that there has truly been a break. I just believe that the social media just makes it any discrepancies that there are that much more visible and that much more quickly visible. I do think that in general, education on the Constitution is lesser than it used to be, and as such, the public has a lesser understanding and our applicant pool has a lesser understanding. And I think that does lead to, you know, confusion on certain issues where there really shouldn't be confusion.
Okay. So
I don't necessarily disagree with that. When we have applicants come in, and these are peace officers, and these are people, and talking about for a patrol deputy position, we talk about, you know, constitutional issues, and during the interview process, you know, if you can't explain the difference between, you know, the three tiers of encounters to us, we're not going to hire you. I mean, it's real simple. Okay. Tier one, tier two, and tier three encounter. If you can't explain that to us, we're not going to hire you, because obviously you missed some basic training somewhere along the line, and I don't feel like retraining. You don't have that skill set coming to work. We're not going to even talk to you. But I say that to say this, is I think there is a I don't think we teach civics like I learned it. I'm 55. I don't think we teach civics like we used to do it. And I think when police misconduct can be spread all over the world, just like me can from Valentine's Day. That was broadcast in Russia the next day. My brother, who was in England, saw it in England the next day. So I think the fast-paced news media and the fast-paced social media, people start seeing these stories about horrific police misconduct, the videos of harassment of open carriers and things along these lines. And I think, you got 100 pages on YouTube of that kind of stuff, and people think that it's systemic within the profession. And it's not. It really isn't.
Right.
And I think the perception gets to be that it's systemic within the profession. And I don't find that to be true at all. I know that it happens in the profession. I know that there's people that wear a badge who don't have any sense of honor to the badge or the Constitution or to the citizens they serve, but I don't think that's as universal as the Internet would have you believe it is.
Right.
I think most cops, because I know lots and lots of them, and I think most cops want to do a good job. They want to try to protect people and protect their rights. I don't know. I don't think it's as systemic as the Internet would necessarily lead you to believe it is.
Right.
I like to equate it with offensive linemen. They don't talk about us on the broadcast unless we get caught holding or if we get the snap count.
Right. Right. Well, it's interesting that, and I could definitely see the argument where it's very easy for someone doing their job wrong to spread far and wide. We had an officer, Officer Harless, I believe his name was, that threatened to execute on the side of the road one of our concealed carry holders. Now, admittedly, from the story as I understand it, that gentleman was doing some strange and or odd things. But once again, you generally don't threaten to execute people if you're a police officer. At least I've not run into that too much, and I've known a whole bunch of them. Now, on the other hand, it just seems like, too, that the people that are anti-police are a lot more vocal about it than necessarily the people that are pro-police. They don't feel the need to say it maybe as much as they should. I don't know. It's an interesting question. Go ahead.
We're a county of 34,000 people.
Right.
We recently had a jailer start to work with us. 2 months after he started to work with us, he had a brain aneurysm. Hmm. Last Saturday, the citizens of our county turned out and raised $15,000 for him. Now, if there was a break between the law enforcement and the citizens of the county, you think that would have happened?
No, not at all.
Well, we had a dip. Let's use your Harless example. Let's take it to its logical conclusion. This guy's a jerk. Okay, and we should never have bad. All right, and I'm being nice because you told me to watch my language.
Okay? Yeah,
and the chief will tell you that's not always easy for me.
Yeah,
but by the same token, this past Friday at 8:30 in the morning, I had a deputy risk his life to deliver oxygen to a kid that was trapped and crushed in a car. He was laying up under a tractor trailers on top of this deputy as he was trying to administer oxygen so the firefighters could extricate this kid from a car.
Yeah.
Now, Harless video is going to go national. Everybody's going to talk about that, just like we are now.
Right.
What Sergeant Partain did the other day on the Friday,
another day on the job.
It's another day on the job. And it's okay. We understand that. We know we're not going to get the recognition for doing the things that you do all day long, every day. But it breaks our heart as much as it does anyone's to see have that Harless example floating out there on the internet. I mean, it's just we don't like that either.
Right, right.
And the Harless thing wasn't a one time thing either. When people went back and started doing records requests for his videos, they found other examples of that.
Right.
Now, where has his supervision been?
Well, I think it was a systemic issue in the police department up there. So, I mean, there's other issues up there. So,
yeah.
Each month, our supervisors are required to pull 3 random videos of our deputies interacting with the public and watch those videos. And they're supposed to document the things they see good, and they're supposed to document the things they see that aren't so good.
Right. Well, and you said something interesting that I wanted to just sort of highlight a little bit. And I'm not quoting directly just because a couple minutes have gone past and I have the attention span of maybe a mayfly, maybe if I'm lucky. But you said that, you know, we're just as interested in protecting people's rights as everybody else is. And that brings an interesting thing to light is it seems like some departments are very concerned about enforcing the laws. And then you've got other departments, yours, for instance, that are concerned about protecting people's rights. And do you think that maybe plays into it a little bit, at least?
Yeah, I think, I want not to believe that's true, but the truth is there probably is a difference in the philosophy of how some individuals, and let's stick with individuals, and it may be agency-wide, but it's certainly individual-wide, what are you doing? What's your mission every day? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're out there to enforce the law, I mean, we got a big, thick book, and you can go out there and enforce the law all day long. I mean, there's a lot of laws. I mean, right. We got this huge book, and there's no pictures in it. And you can go out there and find a lot of laws to enforce. Mm-hmm. But our mission is to work with people in the county to try to do our best to ensure that they're safe and that they have a good quality of life. Mm-hmm. And the solution to every problem in life isn't handcuffs or a ticket book. It's there's a lot of things you can do.
I think a good point to make
there's a lot of things you can do that don't result in somebody going to jail.
I think it would be good to point out. You know, you're not immune from the same issues that we have up here in Cincinnati. You have the same crimes we have. You have drug problem issues down there. So it's not like you're coming from a Mayberry situation where everything's peaches and cream down there.
It's just a different approach to how we do it. Now, I do have to throw you back on hold just because it is that time again. But when we get back a little bit more with Sheriff Chief Deputy, right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. We're talking with Oconee County, Georgia Sheriff Scott Berry and his Chief Deputy Lee Weems about what police maybe should and should not be doing and just all sorts of interesting political things, which I usually avoid. Gentlemen, are you still there?
Yes.
Perfect.
I'm here.
Great. Sometimes the phones don't work. Or at least I don't work them correctly, would probably be a little more accurate. Now, we've been talking politics and policing and things like that, and I will say it is primarily a self-defense and or gun-oriented show, so I'm going to kind of swing back around just a little bit to make the usual listeners happy. There was a recent thread about Glock 18 and how there weren't any departments that use Glock 18s. And that's kind of interesting because I know you guys actually issue Glock 18s, don't you? At least one or two of them.
Yeah, we issue them. Yeah, we sure do.
I'm curious to get
there. They're actually 18 Cs if somebody's really counting, but yeah, we do.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get to shoot one when I came down and visited, so I do appreciate that.
Sure.
As far as that go, and for those that don't know, the Glock 18 is pretty much a Glock 17, but it's fully automatic, and not like the media liberal fully automatic where it's not really. No, this actually is. So, and it's a fun gun to shoot. I'm curious though as to the why behind that. If you don't mind me asking, I know I didn't really prep you guys for this question, but I like throwing at least one curveball to my friendly guests.
Well, the why, I bought those before Lee came to work for me, so the why is pretty simple. We paid $453 for them, and they're Glock 17s, and they're Glock 17s until you put the switch down. So and they are. They're just, it's just another pistol until you do, you know, you throw the switch. So we could buy them for the same price we were buying our other Glocks for, so we put some in inventory. And and of course, we still have them, and we maintain them, and they're part of the inventory we have at the sheriff's office. And we've issued other things. We've issued Kimber 45s and other types of handguns as well over the years. But
right.
Yeah, we do issue some Glock 18. That's correct.
Nice.
I know, I guess I don't get what the uproar is about that. And I was, of course, participated in that thread you were talking about on pistol form.
And I didn't actually read the thread closely. I just know it existed. I spend a lot of my time right now dealing with people on the show's Facebook page. We're going to hit 49,000 fans on the Facebook page in the next day or so. And I'm like thrilled to death with the number of new people that I get to interact with that are really just fun to talk to and have intelligent questions and, you know, challenge me to think. But, man, when you get 49,000 anything, there are some dumb examples that seem to crop up out of the woodwork. So I've been trying to avoid the internet a little bit lately.
Well,
at least. So
that's wise, probably on your part. But I mean, people. I don't know what assumptions people make that a Glock 18 is some kind of, you know, people who defend to the death somebody's right to own a AR-15 or would buy as many M16s or Glock 18s as they could buy, get all torqued out of the frame when they find out somebody actually issues the things. And I don't understand that logic. To me, there's no logic behind it. And people say you can't shoot them. Well, my chief deputy has demonstrated on many occasions that certainly that can be done, and even I can do it.
Yeah.
And trust me, if I can do it, it's not that hard. Okay. And you know, it's just a tool. It's like many, many other tools. These firearms are a tool.
Right.
Okay. And sometimes you need the right tool for the right job. And there's certain times of a select fire weapon. It may be a useful tool.
Right.
And certainly we don't lay down suppressive fire or engage targets at hundreds of yards, but at close range and our gunfights, peace officers' gunfights are at close range, and there could be the occasion when select fire is useful, and so we have that capability.
Right.
Doesn't mean we go around doing it all the time.
Yeah, I would imagine that there would be a few more reports coming out of Oconee County, Georgia, if you were implementing those on a regular basis for their intended use.
Yeah, I would suspect you'd read that on our Facebook page if we were.
Yeah,
you know, I've been sheriff for 21 years. I've been fortunate enough to have six terms serving the people of Oconee County, and in that time we've had one gunfight where a deputy sheriff had to shoot someone, and that was with a rifle,
right?
An AR-15. And, you know, it's not, we're not, you know, obviously that's something we don't choose to do.
Right.
But why somebody thinks that they don't want the government to tell them what kind of, or anybody else tell them what kind of weapon they should have or need, and they feel it necessary to be able to tell us what kind we should have or need. So
that's
kind of interesting.
It is, and it's actually funny, too, because I know the militarization of the police gets brought up a lot, like it's a bad thing. And it's funny to me because my opinion on that has always been, you know, if you're policing an area that justifies, and you could make the argument they all do because you never know when something's going to happen, justifies your officers running around in external plate carriers and having rifles easily to hand, I don't see what the problem is, you know, but...
Well, you know, John, I've been on the opposite end of this when... I advertised that I was teaching a lever-action patrol rifle class. I got the opposite end of the spectrum. How dare you act like a lever-action rifle is a suitable patrol rifle?
I'd think it'd work pretty darn good myself.
I do, too.
I think so. I've got a friend that's a deputy in a neighboring county that got pinned down after a chase in the woods by a guy with an AR-15. And he had a shotgun and a Glock.
Huh.
And I said, if I could have crawled up to you and handed you a Winchester 94, would you have been happy to have had it? And
yeah,
I would.
Yeah. Hey, in that situation, even a Ruger 10/22 with a red dot on it would be pretty handy.
Yeah, let's see, before the internet, I had a Model 94 that I carried in the patrol car with me. I didn't know it was useless.
Yeah.
Obviously, until I got an internet connection and got beyond Windows 93. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that I was marked for death by the mere existence of a lever-action Winchester rifle. And never mind that I've killed a boxcar full of deer with it and felt real comfortable with it. I didn't realize it was absolutely and totally useless for any type of defensive situation I might find myself in.
Well,
people read the internet without thinking. And, I think everybody should have a gun, okay? Everybody in this country should have a gun, but you need a permit to have an internet connection.
That would be, I could almost get behind. Though you'd get that whole free speech argument thing, but I don't know.
Or if you had to pay 10 cents for every comment you made on a Facebook post.
There you go.
Yeah. See, and people are going to catch the tail end of this, not realize that we're being facetious and kidding around, and then we're going to get a bunch of angry emails. You hate the First Amendment. No.
That's right.
You're proving us right.
Sheriff, it'll be in the headlines of the Athens paper next week. Sheriff of Oconee County hates First Amendment.
Yeah. Loves the second, hates the first. No, it's interesting to me, though, just to see, and I was even reading your guys' Facebook page after the whole canceling Valentine's Day thing, and you had so many people that were mad at you for doing that, and it's like, wow, I don't know where people's sense of humor has gone to. So
that's true, too. I don't know what happened to people as far as a sense of humor is concerned. There's a lot of people that are wired really tight in this country.
Yeah.
Let's give everybody a gun and Prozac or do something. People get upset. Loosen the tinfoil, people. It was a joke.
Yeah.
So, I
don't know. It's interesting to see what people are going to get upset about and what they choose to get upset about and all that. I do appreciate you gentlemen coming on the show this evening. We got probably about 30 to 60 seconds left. Is there anything you want to say before we go off the air?
Lee, go ahead.
Well, I was going to first say the fundraiser we did the other day was actually born from one of the hate emails that we got. The guy said we were going to be flipping burgers for the rest of our lives. We decided to flip burgers, and we raised $15,000 doing it. Awesome. We appreciate the hate mail. Keep it coming.
Hey, perfect. Well, we were talking to Sheriff Scott Berry, Chief Deputy Lee Weems. Appreciate you coming on the show tonight, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Hey,
thank
no
you
problem.
So much. I enjoyed it.
So next week, we actually will be having Jeff Gonzalez on the show from Trident Concepts to talk about things that break in his glass. Anyway, remember, you can always check us out, ballisticradio.com, for past shows, like our Facebook page, facebook.com/ballisticradio. As always, thanks for listening, everyone. Be safe, and see you next Sunday at 7 p.m.